This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. How do you manage conflict in your life? When these challenges arise, are you quick to defend or argue? Do you close up in order to save face or keep the peace? Well, today we'll begin a mini-series called Redeeming Conflict. Pastor Ben Lamphere will begin a lesson titled Understanding Conflict. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Well, someone's already asked me, hey, what's this graphic on the back? You know, what is that? And really, it's just to help us, remind us often what it feels like when we are in relational conflict. It's a mess. And, you know, I don't know about you, but you get that pit in your stomach, you have a hard time sleeping, you have difficulty thinking about anything else. It is weighing heavy on your heart. And so here's this graphic, and it's intended to point to the reality that relational conflict is a mess. And people have already come to me anticipating this series. They come to Peter, as he's going to be preaching in a few weeks as well. And they've said, man, I can't wait for this because, you know, there's someone that I'm having a difficult relationship with, or they know someone and things are a little estranged. And they're like, I just would love any help you can give. And so as pastors, we're so excited to share this series. You know, I was thinking about how do you begin a series like this, a message like this, and I thought maybe the best way would to be able to start with a story. Now, this is not a real life story. It's a made-up story, but here's the story that I want to share of Michael and Jenna. Wait, it's alive. Wait, there we go. Michael and Jenna. You know, they've been looking forward to their first real vacation in years. Kids are finally old enough to stay a week with the grandkids. And so it's just going to be the two of them. This is going to be amazing. And so one evening after dinner, they sit down and they start to talk about the plans. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? And Jenna pulls out this magazine that has a resort that she's really wanting to go to. And she says, I've always wanted to go somewhere warm and relaxing, something by the ocean. And Michael was surprised. He replies, I thought we were going to go to the mountains. Hey, don't you remember? I was talking about this cabin last month. I showed you this cabin and how beautiful it is. It's going to be quiet, secluded, no crowds. It's going to be amazing. Jenna laughed. She's trying to keep the mood easy and light. And she says, yeah, but the beach sounds way more romantic. Sunsets, seafood, long walks. It's truly what we need. Michael's tone stiffens. Need? You mean what you need? I need quiet. I'm not spending a week in traffic and in sand. The conversation turns. What started as a vacation of dreams becomes a battlefield of competing desires. Sarcasm enters, old grievances gets aired, and then Jenna sharply says, "You never care about what I want." And his reply is, "And you never listen when I do care." Silence. And just like that, the vacation has started off on the wrong foot. You know, conflict, it truly seems to come out of nowhere. A topic like going on a vacation should seem so benign, so wonderful, so enjoyable, but yet it becomes fueled with problems and frustration and even anger. You know, these stats are just off the top of my head, but I bet 80%, 85% of the conflict that we have in our life is about non-moral, benign things. It's things that actually we could go either or. It's truly matters of preference. Now, there's things that are worthy of having a conflict over. We'll talk about those things. But tonight, I want us to talk about the reality. Why do we get into this mess? Because it truly creates this havoc in our lives. It's uninvited. Maybe the conflict began when you were married, maybe when you got a new roommate, maybe when you started a new boss, start a new job, maybe when you got a new boss. Conflict doesn't stop when you become a follower of Christ. It doesn't become a conflict-free zone when two Christians get married. Actually, our relationships end up just blowing up. And as believers, we need to recognize that conflict isn't something that may happen in our lives. It is inevitable. Some of you might be thinking of relationships that are broken right now, and you're wondering, is there hope? And let me just tell you, there is always hope. There is always hope because we believe in the hope of the gospel. And so as you think about these relationships that you may say, this is so broken, would you remember with the gospel, there is always hope. Now, as elders, we have been praying through this series, and we want to give you a basic path to navigate conflict. I do not want to be naive to think that we're going to answer every nuanced or intricate conflict detail. There is a myriad of conflict realities out there. And maybe it would be helpful for you to talk to a godly, trustworthy mentor, a pastor. We would love to help any way we can. But these 4 weeks will be intended to be 4 weeks of basic guiding through how do we walk through conflict. Now, let me give you the overview of this series. First of all, tonight we're going to be looking at the foundation of conflict, what it is and where conflict comes from. Next week, Pastor Peter is going to be talking about how do we respond to conflict and how do I apologize? How do I, when I'm the offender, how do I admit when I'm wrong and how do I go to the other person and what do I say and what do I do? And Pastor Peter's going to be talking about that. The third week, I'm going to be speaking again more from the side of the offended, someone that has been offended. How do they forgive? How do they move forward? What about if forgiveness can't be forgiven for some reason? Those are really difficult situations that can be so vexing for the soul. And then week four, what does reconciliation actually look like? And how can you forgive, but maybe there's a reality where you don't extend trust like you did before? These are all complex questions that we're going to walk through, and I hope as we examine God's word, our hearts are warmed by God's word, we're encouraged by God's word, and we have a foundation that we can walk through and navigate the relationships in our life. So let me give you the six big questions that I want to answer tonight. We're going to be answering six big questions. When did conflict first begin? What is conflict? What causes disagreements to go wrong? How does conflict progress? Who are we in conflict with, and why should we resolve our conflicts? These are the six questions that I'm hoping to answer. And once again, we're going to be skimming over a lot of these. There are a lot of big questions, but we're going to do the best to answer them well. Okay, for that first question, when did conflict begin? Well, if you were to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1 and all the way to chapter 3, you see the creation story. And if you were to look in chapter 1, in verse 4, in verse 12, in verse 18, in verse 21 and 25, you would see this commentary that God gives on his creation, and he says his creation is good. It is good. And then when he makes Adam and Eve, he considers it to be very good. He says that in verse 31. And so let's ask the question right out of the gate. So was conflict a part of God's good design? No, we see that Adam and Eve in chapter 2, they walked with God in the garden. They enjoyed harmony with God. They had peace with God. It was a blissful, glorious experience. But when Adam and Eve fell, when they chose to sin, conflict erupted in the garden. Things went from very good to very bad. And this marriage that was truly made in heaven, you go to the next chapters, the floor drops out, and conflict is everywhere. You know the story. Adam failed to keep out the serpent in the garden. Eve ate the fruit as she was tempted by the serpent. God finds them, and the blame game and the conflict erupts right out of the gate. Man is in conflict with God. What did Adam actually say to God? He said, God, the woman you gave me, she's the one that ate it. Here he is blaming God. Man is in conflict with God. And then just the next verse, Eve is in conflict with the serpent. She says, God, it was the serpent that deceived me. And so here you go. You know, even in the curse between man and woman, the conflict was going to be a part of life. What does it say? God says to Eve, your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. There's going to be friction. There's going to be friction in this marriage relationship. Conflict erupts on the scene. You know, my imagination kicks in. You don't know much about Adam and Eve besides their children after Genesis 3. But I can't help but think about the regretful conflict that erupted over and over again. And I can only imagine this because it's true in my own heart. And I trust it's probably true in your heart. But imagine Adam one hot day, he's out in the field and he's working. And he's, you know, having a difficult time. The soil is dry, and he is really having a difficult time getting the vegetables and the fruit to grow so that he can provide for he and Eve. And so, you know, he's meditating, if that woman didn't eat the fruit, this wouldn't have been a problem. This would have been easier. Come on. He comes home. Eve says, honey, how is your day working? And what do you think his response is? Terrible. Why? What happened? It was you. You were the one that caused all this. All my problems today were for you. Thanks a bunch. Conflict explodes. You know, you could see that scenario with some creative imagination play out over and over and over again. Why? Because we know our own heart. And we can imagine this couple who actually knew perfection. Think about that for a moment. They knew what we all desire. They knew perfection. And so think about the regret that they experienced as they walked from the garden and the conflict that erupted from that regret. That must have been unbelievable. That's my imagination. Well, I say that all to say this. If conflict was in the first human relationship to ever exist, then we can be sure that conflict will be in our lives. You know, conflict is an inevitable part of life. And I don't say this to minimize the damage of conflict by any means. I don't say this to actually say it's not a big deal. I actually say this because I wanted to emphasize the point that it's inevitable. One quote that I have at the bottom there, that's by Ken Sandy. He says this, one benefit, actually that's from Robert Jones. One benefit of grasping conflict inevitably is to encourage us to persevere whenever conflict tempts us to give up on a relationship. You know, we're tempted to give up on a relationship, and we are going to talk about how that sometimes when a false way of resolving conflict is actually to be a peace faker, which means you just walk away. You're like, I don't want to deal with this. I'm sick of it. But actually, and then there's some people that are peace breakers. They're like, I'm just going to break wherever I go. Boom, boom, boom. But actually, God's called us to be peace makers. And so this is to encourage us not to walk away from the relationships that are providentially in our life, but prayerfully examine, can I find peace, gospel peace in this relationship? Okay, that's number one. When did conflict begin? But number two, what is conflict? What is conflict? Here's a definition. This is from Ken Sandy from his book, Peacemakers. Very good book if you want to read more about this topic. A difference in opinion or purposes that frustrates someone's goals or desires. A difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates someone's goal or desires. Now, someone may read that and you say, that feels pretty benign. And it's intentionally to be very broad. It's going to have a lot of applications. And this is where we go. There's four, I want to outline very briefly, four causes of conflict. And I'm basically just going to read these, so you'll have got a couple blanks there you can fill in. Oh, I forgot to say, if I forget a blank, just make sure you wave me down and I'll answer it. Number one, conflict is caused by a misunderstanding due to poor communication. This is rampant in relationships. You hear a vocal inflection that you misinterpret as one thing, and you respond in this way, and before you even know it, the race is on. It's like the Kentucky Derby, and there is a war brewing. Miscommunication. You see example of this in Joshua, where one of the tribes, they actually make this altar, and all the other tribes thought that it was, they were actually making an altar to idols and false worship. But it was not that. It was an actually altar to commemorate to the Lord and to remind their children of how the Lord has worked. And they were about, the tribes of Israel were about to come and destroy this tribe. And you can read more about that in Joshua chapter 22. But there's another area. Conflict is caused by differences in values, goals, giftings, calling, priorities, expectations, interests, and opinions. You saw this with Barnabas and Paul. The reality there in Acts 15. There's the conflict that's caused by competition over limited resources such as time, money, and attention. Time, money, and attention. And then the conflict is caused by sinful desires, attitudes, and habits that lead to a sinful words and actions. So this is where most conflicts can come from. And that area of Genesis 13, that's when Abram and Lot and, not Abram, is that right? Sorry. Abraham and Lot, they split and they decided to go two different ways, and the herdsmen were fighting over the different things. And so there was conflict there. You know, but a lot of us live in the world of number four. Conflict is caused by sinful attitudes, desires, habits that lead to sinful words and actions. And we're going to look deeply into James chapter 4. Now, let me assure you this. I think this is a very, very important point. Disagreement is not necessarily wrong or bad. Just because you disagree doesn't mean that is necessarily unhealthy. Now, if someone's always disagreeing, well, you need to stop that. But disagreement is not necessarily sin. Why? Because why can I say this? Why can I say that? It's actually probably a healthy thing. It can be a healthy thing in friendships, in a church, marriages. Why? Because we're different people. with different experiences, with different values, and those differences often lead to making life more exciting and interesting. And so although we should see unity in our relationships, we should not demand uniformity. We should not demand everybody to think like I do, act like I do, dress like I do, live like I do, have the same values like I do. We are different people. You know, in your marriage, it is probably a really good thing that, especially men, that your wife is different. Your wife is different. She brings a whole set of values and giftings to your marriage. It would be very strange if you had the same gift set, and there could be problems with that. And so, just because there's disagreement doesn't mean it's wrong. Now, I will say this. The moment of disagreement, there needs to be a warning. Because disagreements set the stage for conflict. Let me give you an illustration. Maybe this summer you'll hear on the weather forecast that a meteorologist will say, the weather today has all the ingredients necessary for strong storms. We've got the hot weather, we've got the humidity, and we've got this cold front coming through that's going to bring through these strong storms. Now, he's not saying it's going to happen. He's just saying it has all the ingredients for a strong, severe storm to take place. And when you enter into a disagreement with someone, say, no, actually, I think it should be done this way. You are setting all the ingredients for possible conflict. And so you should be aware with that. You should be aware of that. How you present the disagreement matters. How you speak about the difference of opinion really matters, because the stage has been set for conflict. Now, number three. We've talked about what is conflict. Now let's ask this question. What causes disagreements to go wrong? So we're saying, okay, we've got these disagreements. And disagreements, we're saying, aren't necessarily wrong. They can go into conflict. But so what causes disagreements to go wrong? Well, the answer is really in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says this, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. James is writing this exhortational letter to Jewish Christians who have been scattered due to intense persecution. And amid the persecution, James is writing to these believers because they are fighting. Often when we think of fights, we identify the problem as circumstantial. I got angry with them because they cut me off in traffic. I gave them the silent treatment because they didn't give me what I wanted. And so we often justify our response by the circumstance. But James actually identifies the source of conflict being from the heart of people. Because when I want something and you want something different than what I want, there will be a small war to what we both want.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. We'll conclude this lesson next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Pastor Ben Lamphere, is the executive pastor and the pastor for Soul Care at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, join us for a morning worship service every Sunday at 9 or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, and it's edited by C.J. Billieux. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.